Let's look tonight at Nehemiah. Nehemiah. I believe what the Bible said when it said be instant in season and out of season. Sometimes it's easier, Brother John, to teach than it is at other times. And sometimes it's easier to preach than it is at other times. But the Word of God will help us at all times. Amen. And tonight, we want to go to Nehemiah chapter number 9. You remember, I think Sunday, we read down through verse number 17. And there's a lot more to Nehemiah chapter number 9. I'm not going to read it all tonight. Just going to share a few thoughts. But if you look at verse 18, the Word of God said, yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations. Now, I actually thought tonight, I'm looking at the clock, and I actually thought tonight that we would spend the bulk of our time talking about God's great goodness, and that comes later in the chapter. But I believe in order to cover this the way that I need to, we'll see how it goes. We might need to spend a few minutes right here in this thought tonight about great provocations. How many knows what it is to provoke? And the Word of God's talking about here about the children of Israel that are provoking the God of heaven. And I know that if you've been with us through this series of messages, we're trying to draw a parallel in the book of Nehemiah between what's going on in Nehemiah's day and what's going on in our country today. And Brother Gary requested prayer for our country. I don't know if you watch the news. And sometimes it's hard to watch the news. I mean, we're the word divided. How many knows what the Bible said about a house divided? How many knows what it said? It said it can't stand. Well, Brother Brad, I'm glad we're not divided in our church. The house divided. I'm glad we're not divided in our homes. But in our country, there is a stark division. I'm reminded of what Brother Adrian Rogers said in 1984, and I'm pretty sure I've quoted this from the pulpit before. And I don't know what was going on exactly in 1984, but it goes to show you the wisdom of that man of God. He's in heaven now. He said, friend, the government cannot give you anything that it does not first take from someone else. And then he said this. He said, when half the people in a nation get the idea, I don't have to work because somebody's going to take care of me, and the other half get the idea, what's the use to work because somebody's going to take it from me? He said, that, dear friend, is about the end of any nation. Now, this is my opinion tonight, and you can take it for whatever it's worth, but I believe there's a lot of people in America that don't want a job. I can remember a day when we had not a bad pride, Brother Brian, but we had enough pride. We'd rather rake somebody's leaves or mow somebody's grass than we would to beg, so to speak, or take a handout. How many knows what I'm talking about right there? And we have provoked some of the laws that have been passed in our land as doing nothing but spitting in the face of God. And you think about what's going on here in this verse of Scripture. Nehemiah's reminding them of where they come from. And you think about what's going on in the fact that Moses is up on the mountain. He's fixing to come down with the tablets. You remember that. He's fixing to come down with the commandments of God. And in their slack time, so to speak, or their leisure time. As somebody said, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And they had melted down their gold and made them a golden calf. And of course, Moses was so upset, and I believe righteously so, that he threw the tablets down and they broke. And I believe that one of the things that's happened in America, I made the statement a while back that all the blame doesn't belong at the White House. Some of the blame belongs at God's house. And the reason for that was there's no righteous anger when a nation is provoking the God of heaven. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, these great provocations are going on, have went on. But let's look at God's response in this. I'm not going to get into all of it tonight, but I want to talk about this for just a minute. The Bible said, yet thou, in verse number 19, yet thou, in thy manifold mercies, forsookest them not in the wilderness. I believe that's the only reason God hadn't already judged. I thought, now listen to me carefully. I thought personally, Brother Brian, just a few years ago, I thought AIDS was going to get us big time. I really did. I thought, man, God's so sick of this mess that we're going to get slapped down with that and it's going to be like a plague. That's what I thought. And I suppose in parts of the world it still is. But it seems like that though we've provoked the Lord, look in verse number 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but I can say this. The children of Israel can be glad that Brother Vinoy wasn't God. Amen? That's the God we serve. But how many can be glad in your own life and in your own heart before you came to the knowledge of the truth, even since you came to the knowledge of the truth? Help me tonight. Amen? That God is a God of mercy. Manifold mercy. He forsook them not. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day, led to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. I read something right here in verse number 20 that I don't know how I had passed over it. I know I had read over it, but I read something right here that really got my attention. Look at verse number 20. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. Now, I had to go back and do a little bit of research, and we're going to go to Numbers chapter 11 tonight, because I have been guilty of saying at times that the New Testament church has an advantage over these, and we're going to see that in a sense, this spirit was given to 70 of the elders in Israel. We're going to read about it in a moment. But God still said he gave his good spirit to instruct them. How many believe that God gave America leaders down through its history with that same good spirit to instruct them? And yet, America in many ways has provoked the God of heaven. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 11 for just a moment tonight. Numbers chapter 11. If we don't get anything but this thought, I think it'll be fine for this evening. Numbers chapter number 11. Verse number 1, the Bible said here, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. I want to make this statement tonight. I believe whenever God's people are complaining, it displeases the Lord. The psalmist said, it's on the sign, Brother Gary, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I know that the church faces trials, families face trials, individuals face trials. But honey, before the sun comes up in the morning, we may be facing the Lord. Amen? And so we ought to look up and we ought to lean on him and trust him. The Bible said here, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. So there was a certain amount of judgment. What was it? What Habakkuk said, in wrath, remember mercy. Here there is a certain amount of wrath, God's anger being poured out, and yet he's merciful, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Let's go on. Verse number 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Look at verse number 5. I read this afternoon a couple different times. We remember the fish. How is it that they don't remember the bricks? How is it that they don't remember the ovens? How is it that they don't remember the taskmasters? That we remember the fish. I'll say this to you tonight, if you're not careful, I'm not careful. You get to thinking about, beloved, that old man and that old life, and you might find a few things back there in that old man, that old life, that's kind of appealing to you. But you better remember that burden that went with it. Better remember laying down at night wondering, if I don't wake up, what's going to happen to me? I tell you, every night that I laid down when I was a sinner, that I was sober, I prayed the Lord's Prayer. You say, preacher, why'd you do that? I don't know, because I just think there was a certain fear about me. I may not know what to do, but I know who knew what to do, what I needed to do. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was a ritual. It was, I guess, in a sense, vain repetition. And in a sense, I guess it wasn't, because it was in my heart. I knew I wasn't doing right. And I'll tell you this, Cornelius's alms and prayers came up to God for a memorial. God didn't hold it against him. He said, Peter, I need you to go down there to his house. That man's acting on all the light that he has, but give him some more light. Tell him about Jesus. I don't believe God holds it against people for acting on what light that they have. And here in the Word of God, the Bible said here, they fell a-lusting and the children of Israel wept again. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. That's deception right there. They were eating fish, but it was at a great cost and a great price. Someone said sin take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you far more than you want to pay. The Word of God said here, they're thinking about Egypt. We remember the fish. We remember the cucumbers. We remember the melons. We remember the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all except this manna, besides this manna, before our eyes. Do you see why I said what I said a while ago? How'd you like to be the God of heaven, raining manna down on these millions of people in the wilderness, amen, and have them say something like that? Here we are, we got bread from heaven, we got the bread of God, but that ain't good enough. We'd rather have a fish from Egypt. We'd rather have a melon, an onion, a garlic. We'd rather have that stuff back there in that old life. I'm going to tell you tonight, it's a trap. And it's the grace of God you and I aren't in that trap. The devil would love. You see, one of the reasons that homes in the church now many times end up breaking up at the same rate they do outside of the church. How many's with me? It's because somebody gets to looking back. Somebody gets to remembering. Think it's better back there. Well, I'll tell you what was better back there. The appetite of the flesh was better. Whatever fed the flesh was better. But on this side, it's not supposed to be about the flesh. It's supposed to be about the spiritual man. It's supposed to be about the new man that Brother Joe sings about the new code, not the old. The Word of God said here, now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all except this manna. Great provocation. This chapter is part of what Nehemiah is reminding them about in the book of Nehemiah. And the manna was as a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, ground it in meals, and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Let me ask you something tonight. How many have seen the pictures? Parts of the world where babies, I'm talking about little youngins, their stomachs have swelled up. Wonder, Sister Danita, what they would have gave for a cake of this manna. Wonder what that mama would have given for a cake of this manna. Clean, wholesome, sustaining, good food from God. And here they're griping about it. Great provocations. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe that God's goodness in America is supposed to lead us to repentance. We said that on Sunday. But I also believe tonight that God has been so good that there's a bunch of spoiled brats running around in this country that think they have a right to break out the windows and set things on fire, punch people in the mouth. I say they ought to go to jail. You say, why are you saying that again? Just in case somebody's on the internet and didn't listen to the last tape. Amen. They ought to go to jail. They ought to go to jail. Don't you believe in free speech? There's a difference in what they're doing in free speech. There's a huge difference. The Word of God said here, and when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. I tell you, personally, I think the dew here is the type of the Spirit of God, because it was the Spirit of God that kept God's bread, Brother Gary, from getting contaminated by the earth. It was landing on the dew, and God would leave it right there the next day. They had to get it early in the morning. There might be a truth in that that we need. Amen. Get that manna early in the morning because the sun comes up. Of course, in our generation, it's not just about the sun. It's about the TV and the cell phone and everything else that can distract us if we don't get it early in the morning. And so the Word of God said here, look at verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Now not only was God displeased, Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, you remember the illustration Sunday about that pastor when that elder came to him, and you know, you remember that illustration about Robert Moffat. He said there's not been a conversion in a year. There must be something wrong with your preaching. How do you think that man of God felt that day? Let me tell you something about a pastor that's worth his salt. When things aren't going the way they should be going, the first place he looks is in the mirror. He's crying out to God, God, is it me? Is it something I'm doing or not doing? Is it me? Amen. How many of you mothers think the same thing when it's not going well with the children? First thing you do, you look at, is it me? Lord, is it me? Is it something? Is there somewhere I'm failing? My children. Dad's the same way. Not always the case, but I'm just saying you look there. And we should look there and make sure. Here, Moses is displeased. And when the Bible said, he said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Moses is saying, God, I'm not responsible for this mess. I didn't have all these people. I didn't call them my people. You called them the apple of your eye. You called them your people. He said here, have I begotten them that thou shouldest say to me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. The load got heavy, didn't it? Amen. And Moses is crying out to the Lord. By the way, that's where we need to cry out, is to the Lord. But the Bible's teaching us here about these provocations. Let's go on just a minute here. He said, when should I have flesh to give unto all this people? Moses saying, Lord, where am I going to get it? They weep unto me.
saying, give us flesh that we may eat. He said, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. I pray thee out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Moses is at a low ebb right here. And it's because the children of God are provoking the God of heaven. You remember the Bible said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And beloved, they are doing that over and over and over. And that's what's being spoken of in Nehemiah chapter 9. They're reminding them. Nehemiah's reminding them. Beloved, listen. If we're going to be a great nation in America, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Look at verse number 16. The Bible said, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men. God wasn't wringing his hands. God wasn't saying, what am I going to do? God wasn't fretting. He said, get me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there, boy, I like this, with thee. God said to Moses, I'm going to send you somebody to stand with you. He said, I'll come down and I'll talk with thee. Now watch this. And I will take of the spirit which is upon thee and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of thy people, of the people with thee. Thou shalt not, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. The Bible said here, you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month. God said, you're going to eat until it comes out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? I don't know, but the way that verse sounds right there, sounds to me like, Brother Rose, they'd have liked to have some of that manna back to go with that meat. They're sick of it. Beloved, listen, they're provoking the Lord. We need to be careful that our lives don't provoke the Lord. And in our country, the only way we're going to have real revival is to stop provoking the God of heaven. Let the book be the final authority and get back to the precepts therein. The Bible said here, Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks, the herds, be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Moses should have known better than to ask these questions. I mean, Moses has already seen God do so much. It almost sounds like when Jesus is getting ready to feed the 5,000, why 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be enough. What should we do? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and sent them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Here in the book of Nehemiah, the Bible said in verse number 20, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. Brother Brian, Sister Kim, tonight, that same good spirit
will instruct you. I would to God tonight, as your pastor, that I could just say, right here's what you need to do, Brother Brian. I can't do that, but I know the one who can. I know the one who can flood with peace that passes all understanding. Amen. The one who can lead the way. And that ought to be our prayer tonight, that God will just lead the way. Lead the way in our church. Lead the way in our families. He gave His good Spirit to instruct them. Withheld us not the manna from their mouth. Listen, folk, I'm deaf, but I can hear it raining. It's doing something out there, amen. That's all right. You want me to preach till it's done, gets done raining? Okay, amen. Amen. Thou gave us the good Spirit, withheld us not the manna from their mouth, gave them water for their thirst. We talked about that in recent days. Watch this now. Yea, 40 years thou didst sustain them in the wilderness. A while back, I guess it was about Christmas time, wasn't it, Miss E? You and I were up at Bristol Christmas shopping, and we went into this shoe store, and we found some shoes. They were buy one, get the second pair half off. And I was careful how that I set them up on the counter, because I didn't want them pulling that trick on me, you know what I mean, with the ones that were cheaper. So I was careful how I set them up there. And they said, oh, this is how we do it. I said, well, this is how we're going to do it here. I'm going to buy this one and then this one right here. Then I'm going to buy this one right here. Anyway, you say, preacher, what's the point in talking about that? I'd been having trouble, some pretty severe trouble out of my ankles. And you should listen to your children. And you should listen to your wife. But that don't mean I have to. They had been telling me for months. Some of the children were saying, Dad. Miss Eve was saying, honey, your shoes are worn out. They're worn out. You need some new shoes. God, no, you ought to be able to wear a pair of shoes at least 3 or 4 years. We got some new shoes. It wasn't 3 weeks, Brother Brian. My ankles quit hurting. Ain't it awful when they're right? You say, I don't understand what you're talking about, preacher. How's this fit with the Bible? They wore them for 40 years. And they didn't wear out. They didn't need a new set of, a new garment, a new coat, or a new cloak. They didn't need anything new. There was nothing new out there. But God sustained them. And said they didn't wear out. What a blessing. What a blessing. It looks to me like after maybe year number one or year number two or year number three, somebody would have looked at somebody and said, ain't this something? Have you noticed? Our clothes aren't wearing out. Have you noticed the sole on my sandals is just like it was the day we come out here? You say, preacher, surely you don't believe that. I just read it and surely I do. God's God. And He took care of them. Yea, 40 years thou didst sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked. What's that next word? Let me ask you something tonight. If you have Jesus in your home, what do you lack? If we have Jesus in our church, what do we lack? Nothing. So that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old. And their feet swelled not. They didn't have any trouble out of their ankles. Ain't that something? Now let me ask you something tonight. You say, preacher, what's this Old Testament got to do with us anyway? God said they're written for our examples. How many believes we got no business tonight complaining? We got no business murmuring. I know the difference personally. Between being in fellowship with God and being out of fellowship with God, I know the difference. If you're out of fellowship with God, you mean we have to eat peanut butter crackers again? But if you're in fellowship with God, you can look at a peanut butter cracker and shout and realize you don't deserve a peanut butter cracker.
My wife and I, we ate at Cracker Barrel on the way to the meeting last night, Brother Rose. I don't always know what to order at Cracker Barrel, but I know what not to order now. I won't order that again. But last night I didn't complain. I didn't tell them to take it back. I just ate it. It sustained me. Amen? And I believe with all of my heart, God doesn't want us to be murmuring. God doesn't want us provoking Him. God wants to be pleased with us. So we ought to be thanking Him. Amen? How many believes tonight that America, in many, many ways, is provoking the holy and righteous God of heaven? Amen. We need to pray. Pray for our country. Pray one for another. Let's pray together tonight. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Thank you for your presence. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just in a mighty, mighty way move in our midst here at Bible Way. Help us, our Father, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help us, Lord, tonight to serve you with gladness till you come. Help us, Lord, tonight not to be murmuring, not to be complaining. I'm thankful, dear Father. I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, for the food that I eat, for the fellowship that I enjoy with your people. Lord, I thank you for everything tonight. We could be out there in the storm tonight, but we've got a roof over our head. God, you've been so good. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we go through life, that others might sense, our Father, that we're grateful and that we're thankful. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.